from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I don't know where he is tonight. Stuck in traffic and here he comes through the door.
With the first pick of the 2020.
Grab your headsets and sing with me. Hurry up, Paul, so you can see. You can join in on the very best part.
First schemes to begin his career with a strikeout.
Hey! Hey, Buckles go all the way.
Swing and a foul tip. He struck him out.
Come on, City Limits. Come on, Paul.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Seven in a row. Skeens has struck out the first seven Cubs of the game. 3-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. 100 miles an hour. 11 strikeouts for Skeens. 6 innings of no-hit baseball in his first career start on the road.
That's an incredible start to his big league career. There's another strikeout for Skeens. 5 in a row. He has struck out 9 Tigers today.
2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs. Paul Skeens, the wind, the pitch. He struck him out with 102. He decides to wait to the end for his fastest pitch of the day.
Here's a 1-0 to Frelick. Swinging a bouncer on to third. Hayes gloves, throw to first, got him. 7 no-hit innings for Paul Skeens in Milwaukee on this Thursday afternoon.
Welcome back, Paul, or welcome back to me. I forget who was out. You were, and I was before that.
Buckos go all the way.
And come City Limits.
I tell you the worst.
Now, if I tease things, that will really be on to something. I don't think we're going to get that, are we? What, Paul?
The worst day after you're gone for 5 days is trying to get relaunched into your life.
That's why we're playing this song. Forget about your life. Let's talk about the Pirates.
I got home late last night, or you know, I'm
I know
myself.
I know.
Now I gotta drag my butt out of bed and start trying to, you know.
There's butts being dragged out of bed all over, and that's why the Pirates exist right now, Paul. They exist to enthrall us, to excite us, to have us finally be interested in Pirate baseball when it's Steeler camp.
There's no question. And that's a big thing. Is Steeler camp starts this week.
Tomorrow, players.
Tomorrow. But we're talking about baseball.
And I had completely forgotten about it.
That's what I mean.
This morning. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. And good morning, City Limits. You look wonderful.
Joe, you look incrinculant today. Good to be with you.
The last time I saw you, you were disheveled and disorganized. Today, I can always tell you're yesterday. You're on your game when your hair is slicked back and you're joining in songs and you're ready to go.
I'm feeling great today.
You must have gotten a good night's sleep, did you?
I got a great night's sleep. I'm feeling good, especially after watching the game Mitch Keller performed on the mound. Seven strong innings.
Yeah, he put a foot down, didn't he?
Nick Gonzalez, another big hit.
Has 8 game-winning RBIs? Are you kidding me? He's only been here for 9 games, it feels like.
I put out that number about how Connor Joe is struggling and slumping in the last couple months, and somebody said, well, Nick Gonzalez has been really bad, too. And I said, the guy who's driven in the winning run in 2 of the last 3 wins?
I mean, he's been clutch. The overall numbers aren't great, but I'll take the clutchness over the numbers, and compared to the rest of the guys, or most of the rest of them in this lineup, he looks like Cal Ripken
out there.
But that's beside the point. I think, Paul, for the first time that I can remember, that the Pirates are a bigger story than the Steelers in training camp opens week, particularly right now today with Skeens starting against the Cardinals tonight. That's a bigger deal. More people are thinking about that than Russell Wilson showing up tomorrow. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm still half asleep.
I know.
But you're right. I think the fact that the Pirates are the biggest stories, okay, it is incredible. That we are sitting here, because usually in general it's like, okay, tomorrow Pirate season ends, right?
Yeah,
Pirates just kind of
usually that's the ending. You're right.
Pirates just kind of get us to the Steelers camp, and then, you know, Steelers start. Now we're gonna talk about and we're going to pull apart every little part of what happens in Steeler camp. We're gonna talk about every position battle, even if there's not really a position battle, we're going to, you know. But this year, listen, it won't shock me if even over the next 3 or 2, 3, 4 weeks or whatever, if every single day when we come in here, the number one topic is the Pirates. Right?
And I love it that way.
I mean, absent of some big development like, you know, Russell Wilson gets hurt or TJ Watt gets hurt at camp or something like that, you know, or they trade for Brandon Ayuk. It's basically one of these things where, absent of something like that, I can't imagine that the Steelers will be a bigger deal, especially before the games start being played. You know what I mean?
For sure. I know what you mean. I'm living it. We're all living it right now. That was a great game last night again. And first star for me goes to Mitch Keller for that game last night. For him coming back in against a Cardinals team that rocked him. What was it, 3 weeks ago? Something like that. And in his previous start, he had been pulled after 57 pitches by our friend Shelty. And it turned out Shelty made the right move. It's turned out lately that Shelty's made several right moves. And I'm not just saying that because we're doing a radio show with him today. Although in the mailbag today, I got the old, if you criticize Ben Cherington, will you get fired question? And I absolutely went off on the guy, because if you listen to this show at any point, we're not short on Ben Cherington criticism. And I just wrote a piece in the Post-Gazette titled, "Has anybody informed Ben Cherington that his lineup stinks?" So basically, I and we will criticize whoever we want, whenever we want, however we want. And thank you for asking. But Shelty has made some good moves lately. And I think getting Keller out of that last start after only 57 pitches, and things hadn't really fallen apart. He was struggling. But that was a surprising move, and then they give Keller a couple extra days to get ready. And he was great. He was great last night, Paul. And that only underscores that this team, if they can get there, is going to be major trouble for whoever they play.
Long?
Did you see Chapman again last night? And they have the ability to start games and shut them down on the mound, which is what wins World Series.
Well, I would say the thing about it is they still, I mean, if you really just kind of want to break it down the way it needs to be broke down, they still are able to win games 2-1 because their pitching has been so good. And those are the kind of games that they would play in the playoffs.
right?
They've had a guy like Nick Gonzalez who gets clutch hits in recent weeks and months, or you know, month and a half or whatever it's been. Rowdy Tellez gets clutch hits for them. You know, it seems like they've got some guys that get hits when they need hits. And if you can hold the other team to scoring zero runs or one run because you pitch so well, you can beat anybody. There's nobody that you can't beat.
So the Pirates must have been listening to us because they just tweeted, Nick Gonzalez now has 8 game-winning RBIs this season, tied for the 5th most in the majors since his season debut on May 10th.
That's awesome.
How about that?
That is great stuff. Right. And now you still need to add a bat. I think the most popular phrase in Pittsburgh sports for the last 2 months has been add a bat. And it needs to happen still. Like Sawinski, don't look now, but his OPS in July is creeping toward 800. But at some point with Ben Cherington, you know, even if a guy like Sawinski comes around, you can't undo the damage done by being so, quote, patient with these guys. And I'm not sure, by the way, that Connor Joe hasn't become the biggest issue in the lineup. In the lineup. What is he batting this month? Like 170? Last month,
what's funny is Connor Joe at one point was like, oh my God, he's their best hitter.
He carried the team for a month, and I give him credit for that, but come on, what are we doing here? He's still in the middle of the lineup all the time.
He's Connor Joe.
He has one extra base hit in July, and he had like 4 in June.
Okay, what are the options?
172 in July.
Well, yeah, 172, so he has gotten out of the 160s. He never gets an extra base hit. He was part of that rally the other night.
He's good at getting it to 3-2 every.
I mean, it's a disaster. And the lineup overall has produced some runs in July, but, you know, moving forward, is that going to last through August and September, the biggest games? I hope the Pirates don't fool themselves into believing that this is all going to be internal improvement. They've looked good on the Rowdy Tellez front. They have. But who else where the patience has paid off? Sawinski, like I said,
he's having an okay month. To some degree. But obviously.
Yeah, but there was no move to make there.
You were going to have patience with him.
Yeah, and he's been killing the ball.
Right, he's been.
Man, is he fun to watch. And 2 steals last night, Paul.
Right, right. That's the thing. You got a guy like him. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I would say that the internal improvement thing we've been talking about is always been a pipe dream. They have to go get some outfield help. And I don't mean defensive help. I mean offensive help in the outfield.
Yeah. I mean a bat.
I can live with Joey Bart. I can live with Rowdy Tellez. But the outfielders that they have to choose from, it's like the Bermuda Triangle. Or the black hole, because at some point you have to look at it objectively, if you're the Pirates, and self-scout and say, we've got one legitimately good hitting outfielder right now. One. And the other guys we put in, we just have to kind of cross our fingers and hope that they get in, you know, run into a pitch or something.
Yeah, I'm glad they called up Palacios. Right. I do like him, but yeah, they need a bona fide impact bat. That is so obvious. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Rundown of what's happening on today's show. Well, Derek Shelton at noon, preceded of course by Destiny's Child. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. But yes, it's Paul Skeens Day. And I'm wondering if this guy's going to go undefeated on the season. Is it realistic for everybody? It is for me. And yet, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, is it really that Paul Skeens is just going to do this the rest of the year? Just completely dominate to the point where he's untouchable, to the point where literally every time he goes out there, you're thinking this could be a no-hitter?
Yes.
Is that just going to keep happening? Paul?
Here's the thing I want to see is the shock that people would have if he has a bad outing. Which he hasn't had a bad outing yet.
Right.
Every pitcher in the history of baseball has one or two here and there. I mean, he's so good. We expect him basically every time to just be a machine. And, okay, he's going to get seven innings and strike out nine or ten guys and give up maybe one run at the most.
I think he might go undefeated. The last time I was looking this up, and it's harder than you'd think to look it up, has anybody ever gone undefeated in a season, a starting pitcher? Limits, what do you think is the answer to that question?
I think no.
You'd be wrong. There was a guy named Tom Zachary for the 29 Yankees. Ron was the beat writer. And he went 12-0, although he only made 11 starts. So he had to have at least one of those wins was in relief, right? For old Tom Zachary in 29? I think Skeens might be the first starting pitcher in history, at least that I can find today in my crack research this morning, who goes double-digit undefeated in a season. I think he might go like 12-0.
It says the last play, according to Saber Metrics.
Yeah.
The last to do it was Howie Crist, who went 10-0 in his first full major league season for the Cardinals in 1941.
Ron covered that team too.
Yeah. This is the first rookie or the first. This is the last player. Time a rookie or pitcher in general.
You're wrong about that too, City Limits, because he went 10-0, but he only started 8 games. So he did not win 8 games as a starter. Good old Howie Kiss.
Yeah, it's a 6 of his 10 wins were in relief.
There you go.
You're right.
There's never been, I don't think, unless Zachary's the guy, a starter to go double digits undefeated in 8 baseball seasons.
So then my prediction was right. No.
There was a guy recently, I think, for the Dodgers, somewhere, Red Sox, I can't remember, but I think it was in relief. Can you look at that? Undefeated seasons? Do you think he's going to go unbeaten?
No. I just think there's going to be a game where, you know, and it might even be a game where he only gives up one run or two runs. You know, there's going to be a game where it's just, I just think it's unrealistic in so many ways. But that's where we really believe. That's where we really believe that he should go out every time and he's a machine. That's how good he's been.
His worst game was his first game. 4 innings, 6 hits, right. 3 earned runs against the Cubs, and that one was memorable because he blew them away at the top of the order. You know, then they snuck some balls in there, but in the end, it wasn't a horrible, horrible start. He had 7 strikeouts in 4 innings. And then since then, the only other time he's given up as many as 3 earned runs was the Dodgers. And we remember that game for him striking out Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani. His bad games are great and memorable, you know?
Right.
And lately, it's been insanity. I mean, since that Dodger game, Cardinals, 6 1/3, no runs, 8 strikeouts. Reds, 6 innings, 1 run, 7 strikeouts. Tampa Bay, 7 innings, 1 run, 8 strikeouts. At Atlanta, 6 innings, 1 run, 9 strikeouts. Mets, 7 innings, 2 runs, 8 strikeouts. And then the masterpiece, the coup de grace, if you will. City Limits, and I know you will. 7 innings at Milwaukee against the division leaders. No hits. No runs, 1 walk, and 11 strikeouts. It's one of the best starts in Pirate history, is what that was.
Right.
That's all that was.
On 96 pitches.
Yes.
Pure domination.
And now this guy goes tonight against the hated Cardinals, and I just can't wait to watch it. Nothing against the Steelers. I'm not even thinking about players reporting tomorrow. The only thing I'm thinking about is this game.
Imagine that. Imagine if I'd have told you that just a year ago, even.
Yeah.
Or, like, the beauty of it is, because of their starting pitching, and because the trade deadline is, what, 2 weeks away or whatever it is?
1 week from today.
Whatever it is. Like, the Pirates are going to be, especially if they make a move at the trade deadline, they're going to be smoking hot for at least 2 or 3 more weeks.
They are so derelict of duty if they don't add to this lineup, because I don't care what anybody says at this point. I love, for instance, Dan Zangrilli. I don't know if he's still beating this drum of they're not yet really good enough to make that big move. And I've heard others, many others, say that.
I don't know how any.
I just disagree with it wholeheartedly at this point. How can you look at the staff right now and think that?
That's the point.
End games with Holderman looks to me like prime Chapman. Chapman the other day throwing 103 twice. Who was that against? That was against Phillies.
Yeah, Saturday.
That was Aroldis Chapman from 2014.
That's the best he's looked all season by far.
And now Bednar is back to being Bednar. Who has a better back end of the bullpen than the Pirates? I'll answer that question. Nobody. Nobody in all of baseball. When you can throw three or four guys, Majinski's been fabulous. Holderman's had some struggles. I think he's great. Chapman is prime right now, and Bednar's
a
two-time
All-Star. Yeah,
how about that?
Chapman is a guy, you know what, but again, he's a pitcher, but when we talk about guys being, you know, that they're a little patient with, they're a little bit patient with him, and he's gotten, you know, better, and boy, he's starting to look like a guy. But again, I think they've got enough that if a contender wants to throw a couple of pieces to at them to try and get Chapman, I would be willing to trade him. But boy, he's been...
Man, I was with you a week ago. Right now, that guy closed... That guy in eighth innings against great teams, I'm not sure I want to trade him right now.
It'd be hard morale-wise in that clubhouse, too, if you trade him and bring in other pieces, no matter what that is.
He's like a bull coming into the game. Like, you can see the dugout door, like, shaking, like they do when they have the bull riding things.
Yeah, he is.
He's just, like, frothing at the mouth to come into games. And then he comes in, and it's just like it's a spectacle right now watching Aroldis Chapman.
Well, here's the thing, Joe. If you're going to keep him, then you absolutely need to go out and get help.
Yes.
If you're committed, and unfortunately, we talked about trading Perez. I think his value has gone way down significantly.
I don't even want to talk about him starting tomorrow's game because it makes me livid.
But forget about that. If you're going to keep Chapman around, that tells me that you believe you're going to win this year. You're trying to win this year. So go make some moves to make your team better, make your lineup better, and go for it.
Yeah.
And that's why.
Now, we talked about
the Dan Zangrillis of the world and the guys that are all out there. Well, this is not the year to go for it. Oh?
This might literally be the year to go for it.
Why wouldn't you at this point?
You go into a series tomorrow against the Phillies. Great team, right? Best team in baseball. If everything's lined up properly, I'm coming out with Skeens, Keller, Jones. We just saw what Ortiz did to them. Maybe him. In the first four, and then Skeens again, and then Keller again, and then Jones again, assuming Jones comes back healthy. And here's the thing. Like, the 162-game season is all about longevity. Like,
right.
Like, can your bullpen, you know, how many guys do you have back there, and how do you utilize them over time? Over time doesn't matter in the playoffs. I'm coming at you with Skeens in game one, and I know I'm going to be in the game. Like, the odds are very, very strong that it's going to be 1-0, 2-1, whatever game.
Right.
And if I happen to be leading after five or six innings, I'm coming out now with, let's say even five. I'm coming with Majinski, Holderman, Chapman, and Bednar. If I'm leaning after seven, I'm coming with Chapman and Bednar.
Right.
I mean, the notion that the Pirates couldn't get through playoff series right now, to me, that's the ridiculous thing. Not why is everybody saying that this is the year for the Pirates? It's too soon. The ridiculous thing is saying they couldn't make a run in the playoffs if they got there. Because they could. They need help.
And that's probably the biggest thing they need to figure out. Is if they're now at a place where they are not going to trade Chapman, for instance. If that's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
You know, if they're thinking that, then it's a waste to keep him if you don't make this team better. It really is.
How many games are left? 62?
62 games, yes.
So by normal rest, and I'm spitballing here, Skeens would make 12 more starts.
Yeah.
Because once every 5 days, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to say 10 more. I'm going to say 10 more starts if they space things out for him, right?
They are rolling with a six-man rotation.
Whatever they're going to do. I'm going to say 9 or 10 more starts for Skeens. And in those 10 starts, I expect him to win probably 5 of them. He'll pitch well enough to win maybe 10 of them. I'm going to say he's going to go 11-0 this season with a sub-2 ERA and about 180 strikeouts. You like that?
Sounds like he would win the Cy Young Award with that.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, there's other guys with great numbers. But to say he's going to go 11-0 is not unrealistic.
No, if he went 11-0, you know, then he's what, 17-0?
Well, no, I'm saying overall, he's 6-0 right now.
Oh, I thought you meant.
I think he goes 5-0.
I thought you meant in his last 12 starts, if he goes 11-0.
I can't wait to watch this guy.
Wait. So we said he's going to have 10 more starts.
About, yeah, I think.
I mean, if he goes like 9-0, gets to 15-0, he has to be a lock for the Cy Young, right?
At that point.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, forget about everything else.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it's wise? Like, every game is gigantic now.
Yeah.
Is this guy not the type of horse, no pun intended, with all our former producers, to just take his regular turn? Like, do you have to continue to space him out? Or is that actually the wise thing to do? How do you guys feel? Because I feel like, man, every time I miss a Skeen start or they miss one or skip one, even for a couple days, they're squandering their best chance to get in the playoffs. On the other hand, whatever they're doing is working.
Right.
Where do you come down on that? Do you just have him take his regular start the rest of the year and not miss any?
I do. I think I
do too.
I probably ask him.
We'll ask Shelty later.
I probably ask him. You know what I mean? I probably ask him, you know, how are you feeling? Or is your arm, you know what I mean? And if he says maybe he needs an extra day, maybe I'll give him an extra day. But for the most part, I want him pitching as many times as he can pitch.
Yeah, me too, man.
I'm okay with what they're doing. Probably one start is what would be lost. But could also be the difference in getting in the playoffs or not.
Do you think that's all? Because he's really, if he hasn't already reached it, he's rapidly approaching his career high in innings. And my guess is they have a number. They actually have a number in their mind that they don't want to exceed by much.
Well, if they don't want to exceed it by the end of the regular season, in the instance that they are in the playoffs.
Right.
And that's why they're doing this plan, so that when they get to the playoffs, if they get to the playoffs, because he pitches 7 innings every game. And it's the whole Pirates idea. It's not about pitch count. It's all about ups, how many times he gets up and throws an inning, whatever. So talking about another start or two pushed into the playoffs, which I'm okay with because of how well Ortiz has pitched. You're getting Falter back, and I think Priester can spot into a rotation spot.
Right.
I know.
But the problem is now, you know, the games that he's supposed to start, you basically say, that's a win.
Or we're going to have our best chance to
all those yep. other guys.
They keep squandering.
I still am a little bit nervous that what we saw from Bailey Falter is fiction.
What about Ortiz, though? I think Ortiz has actually taken that spot.
I think he has, but now with Perez struggling a little bit.
There will be another spot.
There's another spot.
Could be another spot. Maybe,
trade Marco Gonzalez?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's been decent, but, you know, I fear they bought low, and the team they're playing bought high.
Right.
Sonny Gray, they spent $25 million a year on. He's paid off. Gibson, they spent $15 million on him. The Cardinals spent $40 million on two pitchers. They have a combined, like, 17 wins, been good. The Pirates spent whatever they spent on Perez and Gonzalez, bought both low, and they've gotten low production.
But I think the other thing is, the Cardinals team that we're watching right now is not going to be the same Cardinals team a week from now.
Oh, they're going to make a move.
They're going to go make a move. At least one move.
Yeah. And they're waiting on Goldschmidt and Arenado to explode.
Those two guys really haven't even gotten started, those two guys. So that's the thing that gives me a little bit of pause. You know, I keep hearing people say this is the biggest series they've had and blah, 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 blah. It's not. I argue this all the time. There's 60 games left. Okay, it's nice to, you know, maybe you tie them now or get You're going to play them a few more times and down the stretch. The greatest example of this, do you remember when, so it had been 13 or, it was probably 13. Because of like some doubleheader stuff and rainouts, the Pirates played a five-game series against the Cardinals in like August.
Yeah.
And they, I think they swept them or they went 4-1. And everyone acted like they won the pennant. And it was like, there's still like 40 games left. And of course, the Cardinals won the division because the Pirates lost, you know, five or six.
Yeah.
So every game matters and every game's important. But I think that we're getting way ahead of ourselves when we start talking about this is one of the biggest series they've ever played. No, it's not. It's important that they win. It's important that they win it. But if they win it and then they go on the road and go 1-5, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, you have to. But the other part of that is the Cardinals that they're playing right now are different than the Cardinals will be a week from now.
Well, hopefully the Pirates will be different.
And so too. Hopefully the Pirates will be too, because that is really going to tell the story of this season.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Weather cloudy and 85, but a great day to schedule a heart screening with the experts at UPMC. Very easy to do with people who absolutely know what they're doing. Why not? Right? I mean, it's so important to get that done. Why not schedule that heart screening with the experts at UPMC? Big night. Happy Paul Skeens Day. It's another one tonight. It is big against the Cardinals. And they're coming off a rousing win last night. And I'll tell you, one of the unsung heroes we're going to hear from next. Coming up, Destiny's Child also at 11 o'clock, which is gigantic. We're going to replay Shelty ripping Destiny's Child as we try to stir the pot and maybe create a little unlikely media feud with Destiny's Child and the manager. Do you think we can get that one going a little more, Paul?
Well, that's the thing. We got to get him to say something inflammatory or predict something or say
you know,
something.
Destiny's Child thinks he's Nostradamus, so he's evidently putting a date out there.
Oh, is that great? First of all, he's the most unlikely person in the world to be nicknamed Destiny's Child. And then secondly, he's the most unlikely media person in the world to have a feud with the manager. You know what I mean, Paul?
I can't believe
he's a living paradox, Destiny's Child.
I thought it was funny when he said, when we were like, well, Destiny's Child told us like it's August 13th or 14th. You could tell his tone changed completely.
Yeah, changed all the way to this.
You know, by the way, Joe, before we get to the break, I didn't get a chance. How did your first golf tournament go?
Never made it. Tore rib cartilage. Over swinging at the range, 200 balls.
Oh, wow.
Went out to Longview on Friday. It was like a knife was sticking in my rib cage, and I'm done for probably 2 months. So I never got there.
Oh.
So maybe Destiny's Child can give you an injury report.
You know, Destiny's Child thinks he's Nostradamus, so he's evidently putting the date out there.
What date is he going to put on Joe to return?
We'll ask him that top of the hour. Thank you for asking, though, Paul.
No, I was wondering. I was wondering about it all weekend.
This is a bummer. We had our summer all planned out here for more golf, and now I'm done. I'm on the DL. I'm on the IL. I'll tell you something else too. I got a question in the mailbag about a particular player who I think is very, very expendable. Maybe more so by the day, despite his pedigree. Let's talk about that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hat coming up next. Minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at 93.7thefan.com's contesting page. All right, I got asked this question, and I thought it was a good one today, Paul. In the Post-Gazette mailbag, does the emergence of Joey Bart make Henry Davis expendable at the trade deadline? What if it took Henry Davis to bring in a Brent Rooker? What if that was the piece that gave the Pirates a better trade package than any other team? If that was the piece that pushed him over the top?
Well, I would tell you this. I've been on the record of saying I don't have a problem if they have to throw him in any trade as long as they're getting value back, because I've watched a lot of sports in my life. And I'm very rarely wrong when I say this. I just don't think it's going to happen for him the way they think it's going to happen. I just don't think he's going to be a guy that warrants 1-1 ever. You know what I mean? I just don't think he's going to be that guy that warrants 1-1 ever.
I'm not thrilled with the idea of getting rid of him, but Joey Bart is really, really starting to grow on me. We've talked about him many times. Did you see his throw last night? And the way McHenry broke it down, like he can play the position, and he's been a pretty consistent hitter since. It's still a small sample size, but the real point for me, Paul, is, yes, the emergence of Bart, but also Andy Rodriguez is coming back. To me, he was their prime catching prospect, and he looked pretty good defensively when he came up here, and I still think he could hit.
That's what I always say to people, and you and I have talked about this before. You cannot worry about what Henry Davis becomes somewhere else if you have two guys that are here that are helping you win games. Let's say Henry Davis is one of these guys that bounces around for two or three more years and then, boom, takes off. Who cares? If you've got your people in place, you know, that's why I always say the biggest problem with the Tyler Glasnow trade wasn't that they traded a lot. It's that they did it for the wrong guy. Because if, what was his name? I forget.
Chris Archer.
If Chris Archer came in and was dominant for 2 years, nobody would be talking about that trade ever. So it's not about who you're trading. It's about who you're getting.
I do agree with that. And having said that, though, I'm still not enamored with the idea, because Henry Davis is still young. And we were talking about this yesterday. His career numbers in AAA aren't good. They're great. And I know there's a huge, huge difference, maybe a bigger difference than ever before between AAA and the majors, but this guy pounds AAA pitching to the tune of 1,000 OPS.
Yeah.
So I'm not like eager to give up on Henry Davis, but I am eager to make a run this season, and there's alternatives and maybe really good ones. That's, to me, is the whole point, is they have a guy who was, what's really the difference? Henry Davis went first overall. This dude went second overall.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a couple of years older. So what? He's still in his
20s. And here's the thing. What did they have to give up to get him?
Nothing. And that gets to another point, which is Ben Cherington.
Right.
And all the justified criticism that has been levied against Cherington here on this show and all around town. And will again, if he stands pat or makes some, you know, piddly little move. If piddly's even a word, limits, I don't know. Lots of justified criticism of Ben Cherington. I think that almost is just understood with everybody. But what doesn't get talked about is the moves, the things that Ben Cherington has done right, Paul.
Well,
and among those are Joey Bart.
Right.
Bailey Falter was a good move, but on a much bigger scale. Aroldis Chapman, have we all watched him pitch lately? Was that a good move? On a much bigger scale, he identified Keller and Reynolds as extension candidates and signed the deals for a combined almost $200 million. And he looks great on both fronts. And bigger than anything, and I think this is the one that people forget, and I went back and looked just to make sure I wasn't crazy, is it was a legit decision between Dylan Cruz and Paul Skeens at the top of that draft. And MLB.com at the time had, I think, 10 draft experts, a number of them, and they had Cruz as the likely pick. And they said this on the story on MLB.com. The majority of teams would take Cruz number one, and most teams think the Pirates will take Cruz. That was the thinking at the time. They went with Skeens. They got the right guy. It was only one of the most important decisions in franchise history, and Cherington got it right. So I don't see any problem with being balanced with this, Paul. He's had some really good moves.
Well, and I think there's another part of it, and you're right about that, but there's another part of it, Joe. The cautionary tale is if you hang on to Henry Davis too long,
yeah,
he becomes Joey Bart, who you just basically give away for nothing.
I know.
He's got value
but
now.
But too long for him is still a while away. He's got 300 major league at-bats.
Yeah, but still.
Don't get me wrong. If that's still, what clinches Brent
you
Rooker,
could sell,
I deal him.
You could sell him still based on his potential. He still has value. That's the biggest thing. But every month that goes by that he flames out, every month that goes by that it's, you know, working for him, his value goes down a little bit to the point where people start to say, can this guy get it done or not?
412-928-9370. Destiny's Child up next, but not until you join us. Limits, let's go to the phones, shall we?
Let's start with Bill in New Jersey.
Hey, Bill, what's up?
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I appreciate it.
Sure.
I'm with Paul. In the retrospect, you know how to Archer trade. You can't be afraid to make a deal. And I was listening to what you guys were talking about, the bullpen. I say empty it up and go get Mason Miller and Rooker and Peter Price. I don't care about prospects. I don't care about getting burned. If you got Mason Miller and Rooker, just look what that pitching would do from the sixth inning on with that bullpen. And I would give up Henry Davis. I might even go as far as Bubba Chandler. Because
you'd have to go. Wait, hold on a second here. What's your name again, Bill?
Bill.
If you went and got Mason Miller and Brent Rooker, you don't get to pick and choose. You ask the A's who they want, and you would absolutely lose Bubba Chandler. You might lose your top five prospects for those two guys.
And I might still do it because I'm all in.
I'm not saying I wouldn't. I'm not saying I wouldn't, man. And also there's talk of Mason Miller being a starter next season.
Yeah.
Paul, you've talked about this.
Right. I mean, I think the thing about him is you're getting a guy for – not just 1 year. That changes it for me. Changes a lot for me.
Can you imagine if Mason Miller and Rooker walk through those doors? IT would never be the same, would he, Limits?
No, he'd turn into Mr. T.
How's he doing today? Throw the mic over to him.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
There you go.
Wow. Fantastic.
It's always, what happened? Why fantastic, IT?
Is fantastic not a good adjective to use?
It's a great one, but it leads one to wonder why. What's gone on in IT's life that he's fantastic right now?
Why are you fantastic?
I don't know. I had a good night's sleep, woke up feeling good, so ready to conquer the day.
There you go, Paul.
He's still feeling good after his vacation.
I know he is.
He's still on
a lot happened on that vacation.
Yeah.
All right. Next. Who's next?
Josh is in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so to start it off, I think with Henry Davis, I am one of the people that wants to see him succeed so much because in my mind, I think that his draft pick was, to me, like the start of the Pirates really thinking, okay, let's rebuild. Let's start getting players to make an impact. And I want him to succeed, and obviously that hasn't necessarily panned out. And with Endy coming back and Joey Bart playing how he is, I mean, he was picked 2 overall for a reason. I think, you know, if you can trade Henry Davis for a player that can help you win now, like, I think I've heard people say, like, you know, if you can do like Solometto and Davis for Rooker or something like in that capacity.
Yes.
I'll sign that ASAP. It's just, I think it's a tough spot because I think if they're 50-50 on if they trade him now, they're scared that he's going to have more value in the future. And then in the future, if it doesn't pan out, they're scared he's going to lose value. And I think it's just, it's a tough spot to be in. But I think that the fact that the Pirates are seriously considered buyers, at least by my standards at this point, is a very good sign. And I think that any deal that you can do to win now, and if you lose your 1-1, think about it in the way that you got Joey Bart for dirt cheap. So you basically downgraded one draft spot and you got other players to help you win.
Yeah, and Endy was a higher rated prospect than Davis at this time last year. Appreciate the call. So, Paul, my hope is that Bob Nutting doesn't have, you know, PTSD from the Archer trade.
Right.
And if you're Nutting, you can also imagine him looking ahead and saying, yeah, even if we don't, look at what's happening right now. If we're just like hanging around for the next 5 years with Skeens,
right,
we have that event that is Paul Skeens, plus we could be pretty good. Why should I get rid of prospects now to go all in? To which I would answer, you only have to get rid of one or two.
Right.
You should, by all rights, have dozens at this point.
And that's the point that I'm trying to make, too, is you've got a lot of, you know, you've got a lot of guys down in your minor league system, at least allegedly. Now, you know, maybe there are some who would say, well, it's not as deep as you think. Well, then that's a bigger problem than anything we're talking about in my mind. Would
93,
you agree with that?
Yes. He's had 5 years to collect prospects. That's all they've done. They just picked again. They just had 3 picks in the top 47 players in America. They just had 3 of the top 47 picks even this year.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.